Do you like to be the first? Name of your sex tape? Well, if you like to be the first to listen to podcasts, you might want to check out our Patreon, because now we're offering a brand new membership tier called Name of Your Sex Tape. I couldn't help it, guys. I'm sorry. For £5 a month, you'll get an ad-free version of our weekly episode on a Tuesday, a full day earlier than its usual release. So you can be the very first to talk about how funny our guest was, how quickly you cracked the case, or how badly I answered a question. Plus, you'll get all the benefits of our regular tier, including our live Zoom records, a special shout out on the podcast, and if you really like to hear us talk, we've got an entire back catalog of extra content. Check it out on patreon.com/drunkwomensolvingcrime.
Name of your sex tape. Name of your sex tape.
Name of your sex tape.
Fancy coming along to see Drunk Women Solving Crime live?
Ooh, yes, please.
Why not join us for our monthly London residency at the marvellous Museum of Comedy? We've got monthly shows through to June.
Plus, every show is a double header, so you get to see us record not one, but two episodes with two fantastic guests.
You can find tickets on our website, drunkwomensolvingcrime.com.
Shows are selling out fast, so be quick.
Noice.
Noice.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Drunk Women Solving Crime. My name's Hannah George and I'm a screenwriter. I'm joined by author and comedian Katie Wilkins.
Hello.
And writer-comedian Taylor Glenn.
Hello.
This is where absinthe meets arson, Negroni meets necrophilia, and Grand Marnier meets Grand Theft Auto. It's a true crime podcast with a twist of lime. Coming up on Drunk Women Solving Crime.
So there's no high, it's just literally, hey, I love me some diarrhea.
And the gin is working.
Stereotypes are real.
Do come, sweet love, my own dear love of a sweetheart. Come, beloved, and clasp me in your heart. Adieu with tender embraces.
Oh, sorry, just stress me out.
And just before we delve into this week's episode, the Drunk Women have some live dates coming up, the first of which will take place at the Pleasance Theatre in Islington, and that's on Thursday, the 1st of November 2018. And tickets will go on sale on Thursday, the 27th of September. But now it's time for this week's episode with the wonderful Dana Alexander.
Now it's time for Drunk Women Solving Crime.
Hello and welcome to Drunk Women Solving Crime. I'm Hannah George, and today on the podcast we have our guest, comedian and general hustler, Dana Alexander. Yay! Oh. Hey, how are you today?
I'm doing very well.
Dana, can you tell us about a time you were victim of a crime?
Yes, I was I was Me Too'd in the 90s by a kid about 5 years younger than me. I think I was like 10 and he was 5. Okay. And you know those rides that where they spin you around and you stick on the wall?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
He was right beside me. And as soon as we were stuck to the wall, he looked at me with like the most evil look. He put his arm out and his hand went right on my boob.
No.
And I couldn't take it off. And it kept going back because of the center of
gravity. Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
He was like 5, though. And I was 10. But I was like, what are you talking about?
That's so disgusting.
disturbing.
I know.
What the hell has happened?
I'm just jealous you had breasts at 10. Mine didn't come until I was 18.
Like. You have no idea. Oh, God. People thought I was my dad's wife when I was 11.
Oh, wow.
Oh, my God.
It's depressing.
Oh, I'm disturbed by a five-year-old that has such a good grasp of physics.
Yeah.
That happened incorporated into the sexual harassment.
He had it planned out before. This was premeditated.
Yeah, this is like his ride. He sits there all day.
Yeah.
I find kids can be very, very gropey.
Yeah.
A lot of children. I don't know if you... Like, I find, like, kids that have just finished breastfeeding are always reaching for my breasts. Like, I know there's milk in there. It's like they're still in withdrawal or something.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. And where was it? Was this in the States, I guess? Or?
No, I'm actually Canadian.
You're Canadian! Ah, I knew that. I did know that.
No, you
I
just didn't wondered, growl!
I wondered if perhaps you were on holiday.
No, I'm an immigrant. I'm a British Canadian job thief.
So this was a Canadian... I grew up calling that the Gravitron. Thank you to Avertown Ale.
Yeah, I think it was the Gravitron.
The Gravitron.
Yeah.
Yes.
See, you have a good memory.
I wasn't allowed on that when I was a kid.
Now, am I right?
I think I wasn't allowed on because this kid... My parents must have known.
Your parents have their ear to the ground.
His reputation got around. Yeah. They were like, you're not going on that, you'll get groped.
Yeah.
We've all seen that five-year-old.
Oh, gosh.
I have a few questions about him, you know? Like, the first one is, who did he grow up to be? Because I feel like he's probably famous now, and he's using these skills in another way. So
he sees what he wants and he takes it.
I wish I knew. He had, like, a really... His mother had him at quite an old age. She was like just a very like cranky Jamaican lady. Like,
was she on the Gravitron too? Just being cranky.
No, she wasn't even there. My cousin took all of us.
Oh, wait, did you know this kid?
Yeah, I knew him.
Oh, he was a known offender. They always are, even at five. Jeez.
So did he have previous?
I have no idea. Probably, actually. I remember they tried to put him in karate. Then they had to take him out of it because he was using it on the kids at school.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Isn't that like the first rule, isn't it? You have to promise not to...
Oh, yeah. Only do it in the dojo or whatever.
Yeah.
No,
yeah,
no,
only
no.
Use it in self-defense, not to grab tits. They always forget to say that.
Yeah.
Wow, Dina.
I remember a kid who was a bit of an idiot in my hometown. Once a Gravitron came to our car park. And it was... They call it the carnival, but it was a Gravitron. And like a this is on the Isle of Wight. I come from the Isle of Wight. Yeah.
Wow, I've been there for a festival.
Have you? Oh, did you?
Was it in the car park?
Yeah, festival. No, but I remember there was a car park there.
Oh, we love our car parks.
Right?
On the Isle of Wight. Yeah, we charge through the roof for them. And we love them. Yeah, and occasionally we're allowed to. A fun fair thing in there, and this kid who was the local idiot, he got on it and he found a way of like undoing his harness thing.
Oh,
and so he was like, I know what I'll do, I'll just undo it. And he flew off and landed in one of the nearby gardens and broke his leg. And yeah,
oh my God,
isn't that mad?
At least it was a garden.
I know
imagine if he fucked up someone's car. That'd be horrible.
Oh, man. He later burgled my house. That's the story of that kid.
Really?
Yeah.
Did you solve that crime?
I came home whilst he was doing it, and he vaguely knew my brother.
Whoa.
And I heard the door slam, and he came running up the back garden, and he ran into me, and he was like, oh, is Tom around? And I was like, do you normally go into people's houses to find out if they're around? I didn't. I wished I'd said it.
Oh,
I just went, no. And then went and got my dad. But
and what had he taken?
He took £200 in cash, Ned's Game Boy, my little brother's Game Boy, and my sense of safety in my own home.
Yeah. Oh, my God. You're right about that.
Wow. Well, thank you for sharing that with us, Dana.
Yeah, that was so disturbing.
When a kid does, you're like, what are you doing? It's not like... I'm not going to pretend like, oh, I've been to counseling. Like, you know what I mean? He's a little creep, but he's like half my age.
Yeah.
When I was 10, so.
If you could see that kid now, what would you say to him?
Oh, God. He was so young. He'd be like a 30-year-old now.
Yeah.
Exactly.
What would I say to him now? I would tell him, I'd probably just tell him the story. And he would probably laugh. It is kind of funny.
I think that's very magnanimous of you, Dana.
He was like, 5!
Dana, you've had such a rich life.
Cheers, ladies.
Thank you
Cheers.
So much to Unicorn Tears Gin. Mm. The official gin of... I was going to say artificial creatures.
Unicorn yeah. tears.
What are they called?
That would be a good tagline.
And the gin is working. A mythical creature.
Yeah. Mythical creature.
Now it's time for drunk women solving crime.
This is not a mythical this is not a mythical story. This is a true crime story. So this starts and it's about two lovers, and one is accused of killing the other.
Ooh.
So the killer was from a wealthy family and the victim was poor and working class, and they'd had a relationship of forbidden love. They'd written each other love letters, but when the killer suddenly got engaged to marry someone else, someone from their social standing, the victim said if they married them, they would reveal their relationship by showing their family the love letters and ruin the killer's reputation. And a few days later, the victim was dead. Mm. So in this scenario, who do you think was the man and who do you think was the woman?
Oh.
Oh, I know.
Go on.
I think the killer was a woman.
Okay.
What? A woman of standing, because of the virtue thing. Men have, concubines everything else. That's something that's accepted.
And also, I think you're exactly right. And I think that it would be the man that would be threatening. And then she's killed him to take out that stress and that problem. Okay. But it would be a man that would be, because if a woman was saying, I'm going to ruin.
You're ruined.
Yeah, like the... It'd be like, no one's going to believe you. You're a hysterical woman.
Sure.
Whereas he could.
Okay.
And he'd be angry and he'd be like, rah, male, rah, kind of that whole thing they do.
That whole thing.
So, yeah, seconding.
Okay, Taylor?
I agree, but only because of my colleague's serene insight. Because at first I had the guy as the killer, but that makes sense. So, yeah, I'm sticking with these guys.
Guys, you were spot on. You were spot on. The killer was a woman. And this is the trial of Madeline Smith. And because she was 21 at the time and also kind of hot, from what I believe, it was a huge trial. It's one of those things that it was absolutely sensational. It was the biggest trial of the time for the place that it happened. Mm. So reports from the time say she entered the courtroom in a brown silk dress with a black silk cloak. Her step as buoyant and her eyes as bright as if she were entering a box at the opera.
Uh-oh,
she's Scottish?
No, I'm so pleased that you got that. Half expecting people to say, what's happening in Wales? Yes, it's happened in Scotland.
Was she from Glasgow? Glasgow?
She was from Glasgow.
Oh, stereotypes are real. I've seen fresh blood on the sidewalk in that city.
Yeah.
With glass all through it.
With glass in it. Oh, man. I want
that's Instagram on the tourism it. Poster. Join us.
When I insist, no, it's not just Glasgow. I'm like, all right.
Girl. It's not. I went in Norwich once. I was queuing up to go in this club. And as we got to the steps, there was like a guy, there was blood everywhere. And someone holding this guy's arm above his head, like as if, you know, to stop the blood. Mm. You know, you got to do whatever that is when they hold their arm above their head. And then we still went in the club. We were like, no, we've queued now. We're going to miss out on this night out.
But no, Glasgow, Scotland. We love you. Come on. Okay, so Madeline came from a wealthy Glasgow family and as such was expected to move within that social class and certainly not associate with the poor working classes that Emile the Anglier, her lover, who was 30, inhabited. But Madeline does what she likes and carried on a secret relationship with Emile for 2 years, writing to him in passionate language and having clandestine meetings with him at her bedroom window while her family slept. She even lost her virginity to Emile. I'm not sure if that was through the bedroom window or not. So my question to you is...
That's not a Scottish name.
Emile.
Yeah.
You know, Emile Le Anglais.
French little that's name French, there, right? Yeah.
He's from somewhere very close to France. That's perhaps an island that's more associated with Britain.
There's a French and Scottish connection too, even with Mary, Queen of Scots, right?
What was that?
Well, she was all married up to that French guy, right? And France was supposed to aid Scotland in the war.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, this is that it's changed over to Stuart from Tudor. I watch documentaries.
Yeah, no, and then he united them or something.
Yeah, when do you think this happened? What sort of time frame? When are we talking?
Well, she's wearing a silk dress, which means she's not wearing a corset, maybe. So I'm thinking post-1920s, although with the whole... Like, I'm completely pulling this out of my ass. I'm not.
No,
like,
Detective Wilkins.
No, come on. Yeah, like, carry on, Columbo.
So normally I would have thought, like, late 1800s, maybe, because... like, if there were rules about who you could marry and stuff. But then if she's super posh, that would still apply to her in, like, the 1920s. I'm going to go 1920s.
Your ass is smart.
Taylor, do you want to...
Keep pulling stuff out of that. It's like a library. Katie's anus.
I don't know, it could be like 1930s, but then you'd think everyone would be like more worried about the war, but then maybe this was a distraction.
Okay, 20s or 30s?
20s.
I definitely have it between 1900 to 1930. I get the feeling it's not the Depression. The Roaring 20s makes the most. And I think, because when you're saying everybody's involved in it, that lets me know that there's a newspaper that's probably happening. So I'm going to go with... You know what? I'm actually going to go with, like, late 1910s.
Okay, well, the correct answer is Emile was murdered on the 23rd of March, 1857.
Oh, we're so
Oh, my God.
Oh, they were so ahead of their time with the sex and
Silk
murder case.
Well, that's not enough information to know what cow was constructed, but that was good call with the corset and the silk.
Yeah, that was so convincing. I was like, we can't argue with that.
Because, like, I guess she must have had a corset on underneath it. But you wouldn't have thought silk and a corset would go together.
You're very right. I followed that exact logic. I was with you, girl.
So what led to Emile being murdered is that Emile and Madeline got secretly engaged, but Madeline's parents, unaware of the affair, found a suitable fiancé for her with a very rich man named William Harper Minock.
Of course.
Yeah, exactly. So Madeline wrote to Emile breaking off their relationship and asking for a return of her letters. Emile refused and threatened to show the letters to Madeline's father, which would most likely have meant that her family would disown her and throw her out of the house. Do you think she was right to, like, dump this guy that she was passionately writing these love letters to?
Yeah, it feels like he maybe wasn't quite as nice as she thought he was.
She didn't have a choice.
She didn't have a choice? That's a good point.
There was no out for her.
Oh, okay.
What was she going to do? Even if she got with him, she'd still be destitute and cast out.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. No, I thought you meant, like, should she, like, did she pick a... Wait, I've forgotten what...
Taylor?
I just want to know more about the sex out the window. I feel like you dangled that carrot and then we didn't get to bite it.
I think it came indoors for the sex.
All right.
I was just being silly. So apologies for anyone desperate to work out.
I feel for her. I mean, up until the murder, maybe, but maybe that was a shade too far.
But a blackmail guy, you don't know what he's, especially when she has so much to lose, like... Blackmail, that gets worse. Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, if you give it to a blackmailer,
no,
it's done.
Imagine
if he could have turned it into financial stuff. Yeah. He could have turned it into so much more.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah, that's what he wants today. What does he want tomorrow?
Yes,
yeah.
She dumped him by letter. Has anybody ever dumped anyone in a really shitty way? I dumped a guy over MSN Messenger.
That's, did you?
Yeah, is that not the worst? When I was like 14. Ben, if you're listening, my apologies. Do you want to hear an excerpt from one of the letters Madeline...
Yes. Oh, yes.
Okay. Hell yes.
She got it bad. Why, my beloved, did you not come to me? Oh, beloved, are you ill? Come to me, sweet one. I waited for you, but you came not. I shall wait again tomorrow, same hour and arrangement. Do come, sweet love, my own dear love of a sweetheart. Come, beloved, and clasp me in your heart. Come and we shall be happy. A kiss, fond love, adieu with tender embraces.
Wow.
Yeah. And I apologise to any Scottish people listening. That was probably very offensive. But
a lot of love.
It's a lot of love, isn't it?
Yeah.
Too much. Oh, sorry. Just stress me out. Just to hear that.
So he had all these letters from her that were kind of similar to that, absolute stacks of them. And Madeline begged Emile not to expose their relationship, but he refused. And obviously a week or two later, the man was dead. Yeah. So any ideas how Emile died? I'll give you a clue. It was a very popular choice of killing people in the Victorian era.
Poison.
Very nice. Specifics?
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Arsenic. Yes. Yeah. It, very much like most women that killed anyone in the Victorian era went for arsenic. Now, can you guess who bought a fresh bottle of arsenic a week before the murder?
She did.
Yes, she did.
Oh, she bought it herself.
She bought it herself.
Good girl.
And what are the uses for arsenic?
Well, this is the question.
To kill rats or something.
It is to kill rats, but also it's. She claimed it was. She was using it for cosmetic purposes for her complexion. And apparently, in the 1800s, arsenic became being marketed as a health supplement, even though it had been known to poison as a poison for thousands of years. And it literally has a skull and crossbones on the bottle.
Right.
I've got a poster here, which you can all see. So this is this would have been in the local newspapers and stuff. So it says, "Ladies, if you desire a transparent, clear, fresh complexion, free from blotch, blemish, roughness, coarseness, redness, freckles, or pimples, use Dr. Campbell's safe arsenic complexion wafers." So they were selling arsenic in like wafer form.
Complexion wafers?
Yeah, so
you ingest it?
You'd eat them, I think.
Oh, jeez.
And then, I mean, I just heard wafer and I thought you eat them. I'm not sure.
Yeah,
I don't
know.
Micro poisoning. I just made that up.
I like that.
That sounds so convincing.
That's what it's...
Yeah.
That's,
this is how fake science starts. Like, Dr. Dana Alexander with her empirical study on
don't
micro
Google
poisoning.
That.
Micro poisoning is kind of amazing because apparently in Styria, in the southeast of Austria in the 1800s, people would eat arsenic all the time. And the fashion was to take ever-increasing amounts a few times a week until diarrhea set in and then decrease the dosage. It's like me with beer. But it's...
So what did they think was the benefit of it?
Just, I heard. Look at how chubby I am. It wasn't me.
So the benefit...
Just the thing is we're like, oh my God. But seriously, like Botox's tagline could be like the arsenic for today's modern woman.
Yeah.
Like we're like, oh, people were crazy back then.
I know.
Right? Cocaine, of course, and Coca-Cola, right? There's all kinds of stuff. Yeah.
My grandma had to have her Coca-Cola at 3 o'clock. I remember hearing that.
Oh, wow.
Shit. Like really bad. Like street corner bad.
Yeah, she's like, I don't know why I'm snorting this, but it just works better.
So scientists that went to Styria observed that it seemed to do them no harm, the people, and saying that they are generally strong and healthy persons, courageous, pugnacious, and of strong sexual dispositions.
Are there any other side effects? Like, is it like
death.
Being drunk? Like, is there like a fun bit before the poison sits in?
Yeah. That's a good question. No, I think they got to diarrhea and then stopped.
So there's no high. It's just literally, hey, I love me some diarrhea.
Well, apparently it claims to give you a fresh complexion, free from blotches and blemishes. So it's a kind of skin thing.
Beauty is pain.
Yeah. But they're killing rats with it at the same time.
They
this
are.
Is great. Somebody's like, I've got two markets to target.
Yeah.
People who don't like rats and people who don't like women.
Yeah.
Get them all.
So the authorities discovered Madeline's letters and the evidence of her arsenic purchases and arrested her soon after Emile's
death.
Wait,
how did they discover that?
They searched his stuff.
But, oh, she didn't get the letters back. She just...
No,
think
she
about
refused.
It, girl.
But then...
Not you, her.
Well, then maybe she didn't do it. Wouldn't she have been solely focused on getting those letters back?
She's young.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Unless you so you heard the letter, girl.
That's true. She doesn't come across as...
It's a very repetitious obsession with Emil. I want you, I want you, I need you. Please, please, so want you, so I want you. Like, use some other words.
She's not the sharpest tool in the shed.
My own dear love of a sweetheart. What a thing to say. My own dear love of a sweetheart. Blimey. So, yeah, my question was, do you think she did it? You think no?
Well, I think there's room for doubt.
Okay.
Because, well, assuming that she... is in any way more clever than her letter suggests, she would be like, how can I get the letters? Not even need to kill him necessarily, just I need to trick him, I need to get those fucking letters.
Yeah.
Because then he's got nothing on her and her word's better than his.
Yes.
Because she's posher than him in those days. So, like, yeah, I would have, like, if, I don't know, because if you're her, yeah, it's like life and death. She has to kill him, take out the threat so that she's not destitute and ruined. But also, she mainly just needs the letters. I don't know. I just feel like they could have MacGyvered it and, like, done some kind of Mission Impossible.
I probably missed a detail. Where is he living? Is he on Guernsey?
No, he lives in Scotland right now.
Oh, so
he lives
in Glasgow. Okay. Yeah.
He lives.
He's an immigrant.
Yeah.
I mean, don't get me started. I'm pretty sure she did it. I feel like she was... She sounds a little passionate. Okay. And by passionate, I mean like a little off-kilter and impulsive. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So she's just got this makeup of somebody who... I'll just quickly take care of the problem. I miss you. I love you. Bye.
Also...
like, she'd have one last fuck with Emil. She'd be like, I love you. And then, like, throw the arsenic in his mouth.
So are there any
That's
other
called
suspects?
A hot quaid, by the way.
there are no other suspects. It's just
so wait. So they go through his stuff. They find the letters, and then she's a suspect.
And then they go to the pharmacy and see who's been buying arsenic. Oh, it's the woman that sending
in
him
the
all
letters.
Those letters. Your thoughts, Dana?
Yeah, she looks like she did. I mean, you know, this is before CSI times.
Yeah,
yeah.
But I can't imagine who else would do it unless he killed himself and framed her.
Interesting. So here we go.
He could have other lovers.
Well, he could. So here's another couple of things about Emil before I reveal the actual verdict of what happened. So apparently this just made me laugh, that apparently he and Madeleine met on a street in Glasgow, and apparently he had a reputation for getting together with rich women by knocking into them accidentally on purpose.
Ew.
I know, isn't that just the worst way to pick up women? Oh, sorry.
It's like pickpockets do that.
Yeah.
But he did it with his penis.
Mm-hmm. It sounds like a movie or some shit, you know.
Yeah, yeah, she the contents of her purse fall on the floor.
It's like a meet cute.
Oh, definite rom-com. Yeah.
This is the rom-com we need to write.
Victorian rom-com.
So whilst they were writing...
Penis in My Pocket, starring Meg Ryan and Tom Hanks. Oh.
Would absolutely watch that.
I definitely would.
Okay, so whilst they were writing the letters, Emil and Madeleine agreed to burn the letters as they got them. She had been doing it. He had kept all of it.
Mm.
We didn't like him anyway. And apparently, when she split up with him, he reportedly said that he would never accept their separation and would never let her go.
Ugh.
And one last thing. Apparently, people who knew him before said that if a woman broke up with him, he'd threaten to poison himself unless they got back together with him. So you were completely right. It could have been a suicide instead of the murder.
God.
So how has your opinion changed? What do you think?
Well, now you've thrown some shade at Emil.
Imagine
like,
if texting had been invented back in those days.
Yeah.
God, yeah.
The footprint, it would all be screwed.
She would, yeah, she'd have used up all her data on day one. sorry.
The thing is, like those guys now that like kill their whole families when they get left and stuff. Yeah, yeah.
That's stupid to just kill yourself. If I can't have her, I can't have her.
So stressful.
But then maybe he knows that she'll go down for it, or maybe he's just unhinged as well.
I think, yeah, it's like what you were saying earlier about she didn't go for the... If she didn't go for the letters, then it suggests that maybe he's... So the whole thing was taken to court. She was taken to court. It was a massive, sensational thing. And the verdict that came in was not proven, which is subtle because it's a Scottish thing in Scottish courts of law.
Yes, I've just learned about this.
Yeah, so it's not guilty or not guilty. It's, I don't know what the other ones are, but you can be not proven, which is where people are like, yeah, you did it, but there's not enough evidence.
So it's what, like acquitted or not even...
I guess it's just a different thing. It's just a Scottish one.
I find it a very awkward middle ground. It's like swipe left or swipe right. Like there's no in between. You gotta pick a side.
She walked three. And also apparently there's a theory that... apparently if she'd been convicted, she would have been hung.
Yeah.
And because in those days, quite rightly, the jury was made up as 12 men rather than any women.
Don't get me started.
So there was these 12 men, and apparently some believe that they thought it wouldn't have been proper to have hung a woman of her standing.
Right.
So, which, like, she could have got away with so much.
The silk dress, you'll harm the silk dress.
So, privilege.
Wow. Yeah.
So did she get disowned, or did she live happily ever after?
Well, in Scotland...
How'd that engagement work out?
She became a harlequin writer.
The window.
Oh, girl. Sequel, the curtain. The blinds. Double glazed.
Yeah. It gets harder and harder.
I'm here all night. I'm sure
you're not carry on.
That's terrible.
I want to know how much you know about windows.
I've heard some things.
Yeah, so she moved to America, got married, had a couple of kids, and...
America.
We will take your rejects. That used to be our slogan, and now we're like, we're
bring
full.
Us your... What was it? Bring us your... You know what I'm talking
bring
about.
Us your white, you're wealthy, you're privileged.
It wasn't like that back in the day.
I know.
They wanted to bring the slaves, hey?
Yeah, it is, isn't it?
Yeah. Don't start me.
But she's dead now. Drunk women solving crime. One of our listeners has written in and wants us to solve a crime. So, dear drunk women, I live with my flatmate Joe and my beloved hamster, Gomez. One night, the hamster was making some noise from where it was being kept in the kitchen, squeaking in its wheel, rattling the cage bars, etc. Twice that night, Joe texted me to shut the hamster up, then a third text saying he was going to make some hamster stew. I woke up the next day and the cage door was open with no hamster inside. The hamster was never seen again. I've had the floorboards up and no hamster remains were ever found. Joe denies any involvement. What should I do? Do you think it was Joe too? Thanks, Andrew.
Oh my God.
I know.
This is a sinister little crime.
Yeah, so we need to...
What, did he confront the friend?
Yeah, the guy said he never did. He didn't do anything.
It's a bad move to text about it and then do the killing, but...
Yeah.
Are they still friends now?
They are still friends.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
They still live together?
No.
But he thinks he did it though.
Yes. Oh yeah, yeah. Absolutely.
Go with your gut.
You think?
Yeah. Every time I haven't trusted my gut, bad shit happens.
Yeah.
Every time.
I'm never sure. Like, I have, like, my guts are kind of like,
You know, you just get a feeling about someone, then you give them the benefit of the doubt, and then you get messed up later.
Yeah.
Every time.
Yeah. That's true.
And they kill your hamster.
Yeah, that's weird that he's still his friend.
It's weird, to be honest, that this is a guy who was, when this happened, was in his mid-20s. And I just think, don't have a hamster in your mid-20s. Be a man.
There is the hamster ownership. Yeah, I see where you're coming from there. But Joe sounds like a psychopath. Like,
maybe he just let him free. Like,
hamster stew.
Maybe.
Yeah, okay. Maybe he just... Let him free, which is as good as murdering a hamster. In fact, it's worse, because have you seen a hamster try to
live on the outside? Could you imagine if it met a fox or something?
Oh, no. They'd be little buds, like a Pixar movie.
No, forget it. It'd be like Brooks from Shawshank Redemption. It'd be like, I tried to live in the halfway house, and then I hung myself. Like, yeah, okay, so the hamster committed suicide. So Joe is even more of a prick. Go free, little man. Mm-mm, no such thing for a hamster.
Institutionalized.
There's no wheels on the outside.
Does he want vengeance? It sounds like he's put it behind him if he's still friends with the guy.
I mean, this is something maybe we should suggest. If we believe maybe that Joe did it, we follow our guts, we follow his gut. What's the requisite punishment?
He has to kill something of his.
Okay, you're straight in. What, like a parental figure?
I mean, yeah, that's the question.
What was the equivalent of the hamster? A parental figure?
What? I mean, how much the hamsters cost? I know there's more to it than money.
Like a fiver?
Oh, really?
I mean, I don't know.
Do you have any pets, Dana?
No.
Would you like one?
I can't, my job.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Do you have any growing up?
I can't even remember a plant. Yeah. Felix and Weasel and Noodle. And yeah. And
what then, animals were they?
Llamas?
Cats.
Cats.
Yeah. Felix. That was
That was the clue.
Yeah.
Them cats, yeah, my mom got them even though I was allergic. Why would you do that?
Wow. See, I feel like we're minimizing the value of a hamster in a way. Like, I feel it, pretend this was a cat.
Oh, okay.
And all of
Can
a
we
sudden,
pretend it's a dog because that's more
okay. Or a dog.
Cat? How would they open the cage?
Right. Let's
the back door. The back door.
The cat shouldn't be in the hamster cage. But I'm just saying, if the pet had been a cat and Joe had been texting, "Hey, I'm gonna make some cat stew," like, we wouldn't even be discussing this. We would be like,
it's
we would
true.
Be at Joe's house.
Fight for equal rights for the hamsters,
bulk.
Girl.
Yeah, yeah, and we're kind of like, hamsters, little disposable, right? You know, we're treating him like a rat. Like, we're giving this hamster the arsenic in the story.
Whoa.
I know, it's getting deep, guys, but sometimes everything comes full circle.
It's true.
So I think, Joe, you need to dump this friend. He is toxic.
Yeah.
And he has convinced you that your hamster's life was worth less than that of
his
a cat
sleep.
Online, which we all worship as a society.
Wow. So you're saying dump the friend forever?
Dump the friend.
Okay. Yeah. God, no. Oh, Jesus. Yeah. 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 What can you do? You know?
No mojo.
Katie still wants to kill his mum and dad.
Yeah, kind of. They raised a terrible person. They deserve to die. No. Like, if my friend had done anything to any of my pets, they would no longer be my friend.
Sure.
And I, like, would have to find some way to do something. I don't know what it would be, but so help me God, they'd be the terrors of the earth. I don't know.
You have to serve a cold, girl.
Yeah.
When you're not expecting it.
Yeah, like, I mean,
I think, like, a hamster is about the size of, like, a fist, right? So cut off his hand.
That rips itself.
Is just take something
yeah.
from him of the equivalent size.
He killed
size.
A hamster.
A toad, you think? Have you seen a hamster? They're like,
yeah, but a hand, you need that, you know? He's just like, his whole life would be over.
I've got
take
it.
Take a toe.
Okay, yeah, oh,
I've
do you know
got
what?
It.
Go on.
Sorry.
Go on.
But how would
he
you take
to,
the toe?
He's killed a hamster. His punishment is he has to spend one night in a cage full of hamsters. Because he didn't like the noise from one hamster. And then
he
he's going to have...
And he just gets another night.
Yeah.
Oh. And another night.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, we
Twilight
could,
Zone on this.
We could get this through to ITV in like 2 hours. Yes.
It would be ironic.
Another crime solved. Yeah. Well, this is the end of the podcast. Thank you very much, Dana. Would you like to promote anything right now?
Yes, you can follow me on Instagram and Twitter at Comedian Dana. And my podcast is Comedians of the World Podcast, which you can listen to on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Stitchers.
Very nice. Well, thank you very much. And I guess we'll just say goodbye. Thank you.
Bye. Bye.
Drunk Women Solving Crime is produced by Amanda Redman with music by The Lion and the Wolf. You can follow us on Twitter at Drunk Women Pod and Facebook and Instagram at Drunk Women Solving Crime. And please review us on Apple Podcasts. And if you've got a petty crime you want us to solve, then write it in a review and we'll solve it. Thank you to Acast and thank you for listening.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.